For your visit to us, where you spent time on the cross there and in the grave, Lord, and you did this, God, so that we might know you and we might be forgiven of our sins, Lord. We thank you so much. Sometimes we get a loss for words. We try to thank you for something that we have had no control over, Lord, when we weren't even someone that was worthy of being loved, but you loved us anyway, and thank you, God, for that. So, Lord, we pray today that we'll be aware of your presence here in the songs and the preaching of the word, God. Just lead and guide us and direct us in everything we do. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Good to see y'all.
Folks in from way off, I see one over here. Good to see you again. We're going to worship our Lord this morning. Those of you who can, stand up. Let's sing his song. The famous one. He is our Lord. He is the famous one. Standing. Don't sit down yet. I saw you, LG. If you can sit down. Farther Along. It's an old hymn song we all like.
While there are all the
Understand that a lot of things that happen to us, to other people here on earth, we don't understand why these things happen. You know, I've thought about that a lot with my mom and dad. I saw both of them suffer a good bit before they passed away. I get to thinking, my dad was a Baptist preacher all his life, won hundreds of people to the Lord. Lord, why are you letting him do this? And then when my mom passed away, it was hard on her. We wonder about those things, but one of these days, when we stand before the Lord our God, we're going to know why those things happen. I remember hearing a young girl that was grew up with my daughter. They were the same age, went to the same school, stayed together, best of friends. Well, this girl got cancer. Right before she passed away in St. Jude's Hospital, she turned out to her mom and said, Mama, I know now why God took Tony, and then she died. Tony was my daughter's fiance. Got killed in a car wreck a few months before they were to be married. But this girl, as far as I can think of, her soul had just met God. She said, I understand now. And that's the way with all of us. By and by, we're going to understand it. If y'all would greet one another, tell somebody you love them, shake their hand.
I think so. Remember. Y'all know that song was written by a blind lady? Fanny Crosby? She didn't have eyes to see all the things around her, you know. So when she thought about praising Jesus, she didn't bring in visions of rapture bursting on her sight. I mean, it was things of heaven, of the spiritual world. It was things of eternity, not things just that you can see that wither and grow old. Speaking of withering and growing old, I kind of feel like I'm doing a little bit of that myself. But I'm happy to be here. You know, if you stand in the truth, it's all right if you stand alone. Hey, if you stand with God, it's okay if you're a little weird in this world. We're going to talk about that today. I'm going to read a passage of Scripture. But I'm going to tell you, people who believe that God is real, that right is right, and that wrong is wrong, you're a bunch of strange, weird people in this world today. There's a song lyric from Rich Mullins, and I love him. It says, "It's all right to be lonely as long as you're free." I'm going to tell you, the truth sets us free. Let me read this passage of Scripture and then we'll pray. John chapter 8. Gospel of John chapter 8. Verses 31 through 47. Get your ears on. "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, 'If you abide in me, if you abide in my word, rather, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.' They answered him, 'We are Abraham's descendants, never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them, 'Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I've seen with my father, and you do what you've seen with your father. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, if Abraham were your father, or if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. They said to him, we are not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? It's because you're not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore, you do not hear, because you're not of God. Let me pray for us. Father God. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father who art in heaven, Lord, we come to you and ask for the strength that you give to those who believe in you, to those who abide in your word, that though it may get tough, you give us strength from the inside out to endure, to remain, to abide, to live in the gracious freedom you've provided for us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Help us to be truth tellers. Help us to follow the truth. Help us to lift it up, lift you up, to lift Christ up. Help us never to be ashamed. Help us to recognize, to smell the lies and to run from them. Lord, we give you all the praise. We ask for your protection and your provision, and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we live in a world that, in a country, just to bring it right to our specifics, that's having a truth problem right now. For a while, it was different brands of truth. Like, there seemed to be the church and the scientists were having an arm wrestling contest. Like, who owns the truth? Is it the church? Is it the scripture? Or is it the science book? Or what is it? And science said, we want observable facts. We want to be able to see it to believe it. We now live in a world where they say, we don't care what we see. It's only what we feel that's true. And however you feel, and however you feel, and however they feel, that's the truth. And now the scientists, I know they got to be scratching their heads, at least the thoughtful ones, and going, oh my goodness, where'd it go? You know, there's some things we can observe about this world that would make sense. And they don't seem to make sense to this world anymore. I think we ought to make big, wide open doors to the scientific community and say, come on with us, far off brethren, truth seekers. Let's show you the Word of God. Let's show you how all this has gone astray and how it's got all crazy. But listen, it's going to get rough on people who say there's one God. It's going to get rough on people who say Jesus Christ is the only way to God. It's going to get rough when you say that heaven is better than earth. And we ought to consider the values of heaven and spiritual realities over how one person feels or one group feels or this or that. It's just going to be maybe lonely in the truth. Let me tell you a little bit about what Jesus was going through when he was speaking this. Because we have this like fantasy land Disney World picture of when Jesus was living. Like, it was just the ideal situation for a bearded rabbi to come into the world and speak truths about God, and everybody applauded. Bum, 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 bum. Y'all know that thing where you go clap your hands? Everybody clap your hands. Okay, Maggie and I are the only two people in this whole place that know that. Do y'all not have a radio? Turn it on. Listen every once in a while. It's okay. It's not going to banish you. All right? We're not going to try that again, though. Not from up here. Fooled me once. Shame on you. Know, anyways. Yeah, no. No, it's too late. Can't do it. Not doing it ever again. Listen. We live in this world. Jesus lived in a world. It wasn't ideal. Somehow we think that we invented politics and political conundrums. That is so far from the truth. Jesus lived in a political situation that makes our situation look like Disneyland. He lived in a place of Jewish people that was actually controlled and occupied by Roman people, a whole different government. Within Jesus' own disciples, there was one guy called the Zealot. And you know what he kept saying? We've got to kill the Roman people. We've got to get them out of here. There was another guy who was a tax collector. He got paid by the Romans. And he's like, I don't think they're that bad. They're all right, them Romans. You know what I'm saying? I mean, just, you know, they pay good anyway is what I mean. You know, it's all right. They had all this conflict going on. And we act as somehow or another, Jesus just spoke into this fairy tale world. But that's not the way it was. It was harsh. It was a world where political adversaries were killed openly, publicly. Jesus wasn't convicted of a crime and hung on a cross to die. It was politics. This is who we claim to follow. It's the man, we follow the man who stood up to the governor right in his face and said, yeah, I'm a king, but my kingdom's not of this world, because if it was, my soldiers would come down here and whoop all of you all. That's who we follow. He didn't bow down to the politics of the world. He didn't compromise. Can you imagine the compromise if Jesus said, well, let's just, you know, pick the lesser of two evils. You know what I'm saying? And let's just try to compromise with this bad deal and forget what God says and hide the light and do all this stuff and just kind of go forward in half-truths, partial lies. Can you imagine that in this situation? Mm-mm. They were arguing with Jesus. Jesus had just forgiven a woman. She was caught in adultery. Y'all know that story, right? We have to think about that story. We're like, how could she be caught in adultery by herself? Where's the dude? Right? We never think about that. But hey, we do think about that. But, you know, she's the only one. They bring her out. They get stones to kill her. The law says we need to kill her. Jesus writes down in the sand and he stands up and he says, whoever you is without sin, you be the first one to throw the stones. And he got back down. He drew on the... I don't know what he was drawing. I don't know what he was doing. But they dropped the stones and they walked away, right? Right after that, they begin to make an accusation about the truthfulness of Jesus' claims. Listen to what they say to him right after he just forgives this woman. The Pharisees, chapter 8, verse 13. The Pharisees therefore said to him, you bear witness of yourself, and your witness is not true. They accused Jesus of being a liar. They accused Jesus of being an egomaniac or a lunatic or a liar. And they said, what you're saying is not true. And Jesus talks to them. He says, oh, it's true. My Father in heaven, he testifies that it's true. He tells them, even as he goes down here, and he says, I'm about to be lifted up. Verse 28, Jesus says, when you see the Son of Man lifted up, then you will know I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but I speak the things that the Father taught me, and these are the things I speak. He says, I'm a truth teller. Do you believe Jesus is a truth teller? And you don't got to respond out loud to me, because this is not where we live. This is church, right? This is where we come. We get a little bit. We encourage each other. But when you go out there, do you believe Jesus is a truth teller? Do you believe it's going to happen the way he said? Do you believe the word of God is a truthful source? Because he's going to come and tell these people, let my word abide in you, remain in you, live in you. Do you believe it's a truthful word? Are you holding out any other hope? Do you have another hope in the constellation, in the galaxy of your life? Do you have another hope you're waiting on for Christ instead of Christ? Are you looking to vote on a hope? Are you holding out a hope For a country to survive, what the Bible says, no country can survive, because one day all the kingdoms of this world will be the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. What are we, I look out on us and I think, man, this is not the time for Christians to run from the truth or compromise with lies. This is the time for us to stand strong. This is not the time for us to shy away from Christ. It's the time for us to lift Christ up. It's not a time to not make disciples, but to make disciples. Look, it's starting to get interesting. I don't know about y'all, but you know, sometimes after I became a Christian and I started reading the Word, I realized how contrary it was to just life as usual. How contrary it was to just like parts of the American dream and just being comfortable here on earth. How contrary, how radicalized it was. And I was sitting there going, did you guys know what the Bible says? And you come to church and it's almost like in church we try to skin all the radicalness off of Jesus and turn Jesus into a good old American, good old boy. And I'm going to tell you, Jesus asked us to choose between truth and lies. And He says, I'm a truth teller. And let's look at what happens when we follow the truth. It's good stuff. You follow the truth. Jesus has two major parts in what I read to you. 31 through 36. Verses 31 through 36 in chapter 8 tells us about the truth teller. He says, look, I'm telling you the truth, and you need to allow the truth I tell you, my words, to abide in you, to remain in you, to have a home there. Is there a home for you in the Word, for the Word of God? Does the Bible have a place in your heart? Does Jesus have His hands on the steering wheel of your life because His Word abides in you and directs you? Or do you just kind of take advice from Him? Give me some advice, and then I'll make my own decision over here. Show me little pictures of things and I'll make my own decisions. Or does His Word actually live in you? What would it mean to have the Word of God alive in you? I hope we know. It's like having the voice of the Lord, the Holy Spirit, reminding you of all the things that Jesus said. You know, Jesus said that. He said the Holy Spirit's going to take my word, the things I spoke to you, and He's going to bring it back to your memory. That's what it's like to have the Word of God living inside you, abiding inside you. How much time do we spend getting the Word of God in us? How much time do we spend cultivating the ears to hear the abiding Word in us? Let's not pretend. Pretend Christianity died. It died a long time ago, but we've been carrying the corpse. But now we can't afford to because we need both hands to fight the lies that are coming at us. So we can drop the pretense and say it's time to not play Christian, but be Christian and let the Word of God abide in us. Jesus says this, if you abide in my word, if you abide in my word, you'll be my disciples indeed. Can I tell you, a disciple of Christ is the highest of titles. I know we have presidents. I don't know. We have a queen. There's a queen in England, right? She's still there, isn't she? That hasn't changed. There's a prince. Princesses, dukes, I don't know all the titles, high potentate somewhere. I'm sure there's those guys in Iran. Ayatollahs, thank you, Eddie. I'm like, you know the dudes. Iran, Ayatollahs. There's all kind of exalted titles. There's Supreme Court justices. There's senators and legislators and governors. Can I tell you, the highest title in the land is to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of the Son of God, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no higher title to ascend to. And this is what He says. When my word abides in you, that is the sign that you are my disciple, that you're following me. And I just want to encourage you. Look for that sign in your life. Because if you are looking for another hope, another truth, another something out there, I just want to remind you, it's all about Jesus. Okay? It's all about Him. And any other hope that you might have or think you have is going to disappoint. But let His Word abide in you and become a follower of Christ. If you don't now, there's going to be a time when you wish you did. And whether it's the end time, whether it's the day of judgment, whether it's a time when the lie that is being perpetuated throughout this world becomes clear to you and you realize you've been sucked down into it and you've wasted resources and you've wasted time and you've wasted your life on things that are phony and false and fakey, you're going to wish you had made your, said, I'm going to be a disciple. I'm going to follow Jesus Christ. I'm going to invest in it like Wall Street's investing in pork bellies or whatever they do on Wall Street. I have no idea. But I'm going to invest in being a disciple of Jesus Christ. I'm going to get the word in me. He says another sign of being his disciple is that you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. Do you know the truth when you hear it? I'm really asking. Do you know the truth when you hear it? You don't got to answer verbally, but I want to. Do you know the truth when you hear it? Because, I mean, y'all here listen to me, and that's cool. I love preaching. Preaching is so old-fashioned. I mean, where do people just gather up together and listen to some dude rant and rave, right? It's awesome. I love it. Am I telling you the truth? How do you know? How would you know? If you believe in the Word of God and you see I'm sticking to it, that's one of the ways I want to show you. But he says, if you're my disciple, you'll know the truth. Let me tell you, Jesus is Lord and there is no other. Is that true? Jesus Christ died for your sins. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Is that true? Hey, God loves the world. He loves the world so much, he gave his only begotten Son that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Is that true? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Is that true? Yeah. Revelation chapter 11, verse 15 says, and then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet. That's the last trumpet. And then there's a declaration made in heaven that said this, now the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Is that true? How do these things affect your life? I mean, if we know these things to be true, how do they affect it? Somebody, if they don't know Christ, are they lost without him? Let's kind of look here. Let's see what it means if you know the truth. Because his next statement is, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Do you believe that the truth of Christ can save your soul, can make you free, can liberate you? There's some things it says it does right here. Let's just look as Jesus is telling us the truth. First, he has to deal with another question because these people continued to ask questions. How can you say that we are going to be made free? We are Abraham's descendants and we've never been in bondage. Exodus. And, you know, we've never been slaves. Egypt. We've never experienced any kind of bond. Pharaoh. Anyways, you know, I don't know what they were thinking. But the children of Abraham were in bondage for longer than what the United States has been a country. And there's a documentation on it. Both in the scripture and in Egypt in hieroglyphics on walls. All right, they were in bondage. But anyways, they still wanted to prove their point and question Jesus' truthfulness. And Jesus lets them know some of the things that they can be free of. And the first thing he says, look, you need to be made free of sin. When you know the truth, and you give your life to Christ, you can be made free of sin. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to go, I've never sinned again because I'm free from sin and I'm perfect. I'm perfect. But look, in the eyes of God, you are through Christ. Positionally, you are perfect. You're right. But you're going to stub your toe. You're going to mess up. You're going to say some things. You're going to do some things you wish you didn't. You're going to will some things that you wish you wouldn't will. But I'm going to tell you, it all comes under the blood of Christ. But listen, he says, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave to sin. Hey, y'all, this is something, I don't care how many nods yes I get. This is something I know we have a hard time believing. Do you believe when you commit sin, you're a slave to sin? In other words, that sin is a death dealer and it has shackles for you? Anybody who's ever fought with addiction knows the truth of that. Doesn't mean that we don't continue to do the same dumb things over again because somehow or another we don't get to that point of saying, sin is bad. I told you about how my doctor had to jump on my head and tell me that carbs were bad. And he had to like yell at me and put his finger in my face. You're eating that poison. It's bad. You don't even believe me. I believe him now. I ain't like I don't even look at carbs. Can't even look at them now. Carb free. Right here, this guy. Until, yeah, I know. Miss Jill's going, don't do it. Too late. Totally abstaining. So, but Christ makes us free from sin. He says, you're not going to be a slave to sin. And he tells us why it's so important, because a slave does not abide in the house forever. In other words, if you remain a slave to sin, you ain't going to go to the big house. You're not going to go to heaven, because sin ain't going to enter that place. You will not abide forever. Y'all realize that? If the truth is this, if Jesus don't take care of your sin, you don't enter the pearly gates. I know that's so cliche sounding, but I don't know how else. I just want to make sure it's understandable. You know, going to heaven. And you might say, well, it's not all about going to heaven. It's about living here. Well, you can live free as a child of God, or you can be a slave. See, giving our life to Christ impacts here too. But it impacts there. It makes us a child of God. It changes us from a slave to sin to someone who is a child of God. And you know who does all this? It's Jesus. It's not the preacher. It's not the missionary. It's not the people who can just help you out in the church family. Jesus does it. Listen to what he says. If the Son has made you free, you shall be free indeed. I love it when Jesus does things. You know, when I do things, it always ends up a little bit wonky. You know, if I plan an event, I always think back and say, well, we could have done this better. We could have done that better. The very few times I try to put something together at my house, which is not my, it's not my gifts, it's my wife's gift. She's the one who puts things together. When I try to put it together, I'm like, I don't know what happened. I don't know why we have these extra screws over here, the extra washers and that. You know, it's just not good. You know, it's not good. Usually whatever I'm doing gets flung across the room because I lose my patience, and it's just bad, right? But when Jesus does things, he does it so good. He does it so perfect. He does it so we can trust him. Do you believe if the Son makes you free, you're free indeed? Do you believe that? Do you know anybody who's in bondage to sin, in bondage to addiction? Have you told them that Jesus can make them free? It's those kind of challenging points that makes us, do you really believe that the Son makes people free indeed? See, we can't even say some of this stuff on college campuses. We can't, without permits in some places in our country, speak of these things openly. And yet it's the truth. And you might say, how can you say it's the truth? I hear it. God told me who he was, and I know this is going to sound weird, but I ain't got no other way of saying it. When I got saved, he told me spiritually, somehow, I'm not going to explain how it was, but that he was God, that I was a sinner, that Christ did die for me. And when I gave my life to him, he became my Lord, and he opened up his word to me. Not just me only, but that's what happens when you get saved, and I can hear this truth. It's not my truth. It doesn't lift me up. It calls me a sinner, a low down no good. I just happen to know that's true about me. I visit with you long enough, I'll find out that's true about you too. And then you'll find out it's true about me. And you and I will find out together that we need a Savior. Someone who can make us free indeed. Y'all get that? Now look, I'm going to sum up his other point. His other point of his argument, he shifts gears right here. He was talking about truth. He was talking about the Father in heaven. He's about to talk about a whole different thing. He's going to talk about lies, and he's going to talk about a different Father. Okay? So we're going to shift gears right now, because I want you to see the alternative. Because if you don't follow the truth, you will follow the lie. If God is not your father, you are not fatherless. Just let that sink in for a minute. If God is not your father in heaven, you are not fatherless. You have a mold, a model, a parent, someone who is giving you the playbook, someone whose agenda you are following, someone whose will you are executing in this world. And that's the truth he had to lay on these religious Jewish guys who were very much believing they were in God's camp, and Jesus had to tell them something different. First thing we see is that he says they don't have the ability to hear the truth. They have no place for his word. There's no place for his word. Verse 37. He says, I know that you're Abraham's children. You've descended from them biologically, but you seek to kill me, because my word has no place in you. And I'm going to tell you something. In our country, we're finding exceedingly smaller and smaller places for the Word of God to be accepted, dwelt, preached, and all those things. Now, right now, I praise God, two of the guys who are not... You have my permission not to be at church on Sunday morning if you have a mission. There's two of our guys, at least two right now, on a mission with the Gideons, going to raise money and handing out Bibles and doing those things. But I'm going to tell you, even they're finding there is increasingly shrinking space for the Word of Christ in our culture. It's getting smaller and bleaker. And can I tell you, that's the first thing that has to happen. If the devil is going to succeed, if things are going to go down, he has to block the truth. Now you can go to the parable that Jesus spoke about the kingdom of God in Matthew chapter 13. He said, there's a man who went out casting seed, and the seed was the Word of God, and it landed on some tough, hard soil called the wayside. And before that soil could penetrate, it said the birds came down and it ate those seeds. And when Jesus explained that parable, he said the seeds of the Word of God, the wayside was the heart condition of these people that the Word of God hit, and the birds that came was under the devil's influence, taking away the Word of God before it sprouted, before it had a chance to catch hold and grow root. The first thing for darkness to win is to try to block the truth, try to shut the light out. Can I tell you, when Christians get away from truth, when they get away from Christ, when they get away from the church, they get away from the Scripture, they become in danger. I'm not talking about in danger of losing your salvation, but following a lie. We get out from the influence of the truth and we follow a lie. The next thing that Jesus hits them with here, well, he says they're just not able to listen to the truth. Don't take for granted if you understand the Word of God. Don't take for granted if you can hear the truth of what God's saying. It's a beautiful thing. It's an awesome thing. I mean, we live in a time where, again, truth has gone out the window. Even observable scientific truth doesn't matter anymore. We have a whole generation who are running away from their body. It's madness that we've fallen into. So the first thing had to be to block out the truth, because the truth would point out and say, God created them, male and female. He created them and he saw it and it was very good. Not something to be run away from or disgusted with or bored with or all these things. The truth had to be blocked and they weren't able to hear it. Then he says this, your role model, your daddy. He tells these guys that the devil is their dad. I can't think of anything more harsh he could have said to them. Verse 44, you are of your father, the devil. They had claimed that Abraham was their father and they had claimed that God was their father. And Jesus says, wrong on both accounts, because you're not doing and living life like Abraham. You're not doing and living life like God would. You're doing and living life like the devil would. You're perpetuating lies. I don't know. We just had a funeral. We had our first funeral inside this building yesterday. And it's for Mr. Pete Whitten. And he had the box office seat right here in front, right? And all his family's there. And I used it as a time to challenge his family. I'm not telling you all anything I didn't tell them. They needed to hear, because Mr. Pete used to try to tell them truth. And used to try to speak to them about the crazy ways that some of them were living. It reminded me of a funeral that I had. And I had an opportunity to speak at. A long time ago, at my grandfather's funeral, at my mother's dad's funeral. And the two men reminded me a lot of each other, because my grandpa was a truth teller. And he was trying to tell some of in my family of how to live and how to do things. And I remember standing up in the pulpit at his, in the Catholic church where we had his funeral, and standing there and said, if you loved him, you need to listen to what he's saying to you and what he said to you. Because he was trying to get you on the right path. And I said that same thing right here yesterday. If you heard that man speak the truth to you, you need to follow him. If you loved him, heed what he's saying, because that's what father figures are for in our lives. To speak wisdom and direction and correction and instruction. We need to heed them. Look, we have a Father. If God's your Father, then heed Him. If you claim to love God, then listen to Him. If you love Jesus Christ, obey His command. That's what He tells us. It's not hard. But also be honest with yourself. If you are following the lie, then you are also following the liar. If you've been caught up in this whole mess that truth doesn't exist and it's just how you feel, you're following the liar. He's a father. He has many children who follow his pattern. Because it just didn't stay with believe my words. It also went to do what I say do. The desires of your father you want to do. That's what it says in verse 44. You desire to do the deeds, the works, the lies of your father. Y'all listen. Following the truth leads to freedom. Even if it's a lonely freedom. Even if it's a weird, makes you a peculiar person type freedom. You're standing in truth. You can stand with the Lord. You can stand. People talk about the right side of history. Who cares? I can only say that because Mr. Bill Russell, the history professor, is not here. Who cares about the right side of history? There's a judgment day. And that's the day I want to be on the right side with. All this other stuff is mess and drama and politics. But Christ and the truth leads to grace and freedom. The lie leads to death and slavery. The liar, no matter how intelligent it may sound, and there's nothing intelligent about the lies that are coming out lately, but no matter how much it seems to make sense when you buy their narrative, their story, it's going to come to an end because the liar comes to an end and it's not a good end. Okay? There's a conflict that has existed between the lie and the truth. All the way back from the Garden of Eden. Do you remember the first words that the devil said in the scripture? Way back in Genesis. The woman's looking at the tree in the midst of the garden. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said, you will not surely die. Wait, God said, in the day that you eat, you'll surely die. And what does the serpent say? What does the devil say? You will not surely die. They're making too big of a deal out of this. When Adam told you what God said, it was too big of a deal. They're fanatics. He's a God fanatic. Let me tell you, this tree, it's good for fruit. Come on, let's compromise a little bit. Meet me halfway on this one, Eve. Come on, let's do this thing. You don't have to believe God in everything he says. That's always been the Satan's game. It's always been the serpent's lie. From the beginning, he is a liar. And he's trying to get us to choose with someone other than God. I don't know. That's as plain as it can be. In the end of times, in the end of things, he's just lying and making more lies and a deception that covers cultures and nations like a mist. We don't want to be in that. We want to be truth tellers and we want to follow the one who's a truth teller. Listen. Jesus is a truth teller. And he asked these three questions, asked two questions at the end. And I want you to deal with this. This is our invitation right now. One, Jesus says, who among you convicts me of sin? Which of you can say I've been telling a lie? Can anybody here think of any lie that Jesus has said? Where did Jesus lie? Very quickly, we can talk about the lies of Satan. We can look in our culture and talk about the lies of Satan. And they all have like this political ramifications and all that stuff. And you're not supposed to say it from the pulpit. You're supposed to say that killing babies if they're inside is not murder, which it is. You're supposed to say that if you love somebody, it's all good, which it ain't. You know, we're supposed to believe these things and we're supposed to hustle these things in and carry these things on. But Which of you says Jesus is a liar? Which of us convicts Jesus of sin? Anybody? I know in here we're not going to. Has anybody told you a lie that Jesus said? Has anybody ever said Jesus is just not reliable? You know, they try to attack the Bible, they try to attack other things, but is Jesus not reliable? He is. He's reliable. I'm telling you, He is. The Word says He is. Compare Him to anybody. If you want to do it that way, let's compare Him to this guy or that guy. He's reliable. The next question Jesus asked is this: if I tell you the truth, how come you don't trust me? If I tell you the truth, how come you don't trust me? So I just want you to think. If you didn't come up with any reason why Jesus lies or sins, let that second question hit you. If you can't convict Him of being a liar, then why don't you trust Him 100%? Why don't you trust His perspective on how this world works? How come we don't trust Him with our very soul? How come we don't trust Him with our money, with our children, with our time, with our life? We can trust Him 100%. He's a truth teller. If you've never trusted Christ, I just want you to think about it. How come? Why not? Why haven't I trusted Christ? What is it about Him I think is untrustworthy? What is it I think about the Word that's untrustworthy? If I have my doubts, how can I go to investigate them? How can I go to shore them up? Where can I go? Who can I ask? How can I pray? Because I'm going to tell you, you're going to need to know, and you're going to need to stand. You stand on one side of this or the other. Jesus said, there's the truth from God, and there's a lie from Satan, and you're going to stand on one side or the other. Who are you going to believe? Oh, we're here to preach Jesus. He's a truth teller. Close your eyes. Bow your head. Father God, I pray right now, just as we're living in these times, we're engaged in a time, it hasn't been this way for a long time in our country. I don't know if it's ever been this. And Father, there's confusion, there's lies, and then there's the truth. You've called us to stand in the truth. You invite us. Even if somebody would say, well, I'm not a Christian, but you're invited. You're invited to come and stand in the truth because Christ welcomes everyone. Father, help us not to be wooed. Help us not to be duped. Putting sentimentality, putting human ideals, putting lies in front of what You've clearly said is true in Your Word. Father, we love You. We give You all the praise. Do Your work in our hearts today. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your time. If you need to pray, pray. If you want to come up and pray, come up and pray. If you want me to pray with you, you can come and do that. But we're going to have a song just now for you to respond to God. Everybody responds in different ways. That's all right. But just remember this. The truth is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And He knows how to answer every question. He knows how to lead you perfectly. I'm going to ask that the ushers come forward and make the morning, take up the offering this morning. And as I do, I just want to remind you, look, I know that, you know, I felt like I was preaching hard. You know, preachers kind of feel like we're preaching hard. Sometimes you got to preach hard. And sometimes your face grimaces up and all those things. But I don't want you to forget something. If you're in the truth, it's a joyful place to be too. Okay? There ain't no sense in being on your road to heaven with a sour face. All right? It's a joyful thing. Let me pray for us. Father God, thank you for how you love us. Thank you for the time. Thank you for the truth that we hear even echoed in the songs we sing, that you are forever mine. That's through your grace that that is true. And Lord, we pray for this offering, and we do all of it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, we're going to have just a real brief presentation to acknowledge a friend of mine. And that friend is Miss Carrie Sageberry. And Eddie's going to escort her up here. And it's a great... Miss Carrie has worked here for the church since 09.
8 years.
Doing all the things, you know, hiding the bodies, all that stuff. You know, the stuff that didn't get... Anyway, we have become... It's been a joy, and not in the way that people usually think, kind of a shallow experience. Karen and I have developed a kind of friendship where we can be really ticked at each other. If you don't have friends who you can be really angry at and yell at, then you just don't know what friends are yet, okay? You know, because... Where a love relationship can still kind of bind you together. You know, when you like work with somebody, you're so mad at them that you either don't want to see them or you want to figure out how to make them more mad than they made you. It's that kind of thing. But in these last years, it's become to be a really supportive, and I don't have a greater champion, I feel like, on my side. And she's just done so well, you know. And so I know these words are nothing compared to what you'll hear Sunday, but from your pastor and your friend and your kind of boss, I want to say well done. Well done. You are a good man. Oops. See what I'm saying? And your church would just like to present you with a small gift. Now, to give you some idea, and just logistically speaking, you know, Miss Carrie's been replaced by three people, so it kind of gives you an idea, okay? So if you have some financial things, you know, Miss Kay Ferguson, Miss Kay is doing that stuff now, okay? Her and Miss Pam have taken over that, but if you have a need for reimbursement or financial questions, Miss Kay is the one that you're going to talk to, and Miss Pam helps her out. And then in the office, if you have like administrative stuff or logistical stuff, Sarah has taken that part and is here in the office. And office hours are 10 to 2, and but she's usually here from earlier than that and later than that. But anyways, she's here, okay? So, but anyways, you all come up and just give her a hug. Tell her that you love her. Even if you didn't know that she was serving you in the name of Jesus through Christ Community Church behind the scenes. And we just are very thankful. Y'all come up and hug her. I'm going to pray and I'll close. Father God, you don't get to say anything. Father God, no, behind the scenes. Behind the scenes. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Lord, help us that our story, this is our story, this is our song, may it always be based on your truth. You are praiseworthy. We do love you. Help us to walk in the joy of the Lord that comes through living and being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. We love you. Thank you for the servants, Miss Carrie being the one on display right now, but the others who also are working behind the scenes to support what you do at Christ Community Church. Lord, we're so thankful for all of them, and we just ask that you'd bless us, and as we go, you'd keep us, and that our fellowship would be sweet, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, I love you all, and thank you for letting me be your pastor. Come greet Miss Carrie. Ready? Break.